chapter 10. I'm proud of you, whoever you are.
That would be your grandson.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, David. You deserve the thanks after what we've been putting up with for all this time. I don't care if it is rigged. It works. I'm going to read the first 11 verses of 1 Corinthians 10, if you'd follow along with me. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as for some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity to preach it. Thank you for our freedom. Bless all our soldiers and protect them, and bless this country. Bless the leaders, give them wisdom. God, I pray in this congregation this morning and where this word is preached, that you'll suit a blessing for every individual need. Lord, you'd give me a freedom and ease to speak that only you can give. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we got two prominent preachers in this church that are continually preaching on types. Danny Del Ross, he's one of the best on types. He's always coming up with something out of the Old Testament. He does it, you know. Trinidad Noyola loves types. He gets back in that Old Testament and he said, boy, this is a typing. This is a typing. This is a typing. I'm not much on preaching on types. I do some things like the Lamb of God that take away the sin of the world, you know, something like that. We got a chapter right here that says types are legitimate. They really are. They really mean something. And this chapter is one thing that he's trying to teach the Corinthians and us that you can learn from the Old Testament. Don't think that the Old Testament was just a jumble of stories written up. They are specific stories repeated, written over and over and over again. Have you ever thought about how many stories are not there? How many questions are not answered? Why did God pick the ones that he picked? It wasn't just to write a history book. It was to be for the church. Everything is for the church. And he's going to show you that in this chapter right here. Now remember where we're preaching. We're in Corinthians. These people had, they worshiped Venus. And that was just a great big, their worship was prostitution. And it was a wicked, wicked place. And these, not many Jews here, these are Gentiles that grew up in that. That was their practice. That was their habit. That's what they thought they ought to do. They enjoyed doing. And now then they're in the church of the living God and he's expecting something different out of them. And so, in this wicked place, by the way, in this wicked place, I think I pointed out to you when we were about the first chapter, this church had more gift, more dramatic and extraordinary gift than hardly any church around. Man, they had prophets and preachers, and they had tongue talkers and healers, and they had whatever gift there was in the church. Corinth had it. Had a lot of pride for it, too. And they're thinking, we've got all these gifts, we're something special. Don't some of us think that right now? I am born again. I am saved by the blood of Jesus. I can't go to hell. I'm special. So it doesn't matter if I sin. Oh, yes, it does. That's what he's going to tell you right here. He's going to show you some types, pictures, that the Old Testament is of the New Testament church. Now, I'll tell you, as the Corinthian church should have paid attention, I hope this church will pay attention. I hope you'll pay attention. Hope you'll listen carefully and get the gist of this. Now let's look at what he said. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant. You know, one of my jobs, and I don't think I have to preach great sermons. I don't think I have to win all the people in the world. I think my job is to take the Word of God, study it till I understand it, make it plain to you, and then apply it. That's what I've been doing for 50 years. That's the way I try to teach or preach. I want to understand it, make it plain, and then apply it. That's my job. God does the rest. It's His Word, and He's promised where His Word goes, the Holy Spirit goes, and where the Holy Spirit goes, you can get saved. And if the Holy Spirit's not there, you can't get saved. No way. He said, I would not that you should be ignorant. One thing that we want our people to know the Word of God. And I'm thankful many of you are good preachers and good students of the Word of God. And I'm thankful for you. I really am. I'm blessed every time you got the grasp of the Scripture and you stand up and say something about it, or you bless us, or you teach good doctrine coming out. Good people, people willing to put something in their life. I'm thankful for that. I would that you would not be ignorant. Ignorance is a real enemy. We need to know the Word of God. Now, for myself, the one most important pattern for me is to find out what God's Word says. I really don't care what works. I don't care what the rest of the Christian people are doing. I don't care what the rest of the churches are doing. I just want to know what God says in His Word about the topic we're talking about. Because in my mind, this book is the Word of God, and I'm going to go to the judgment seat of Christ believing it, trusting it. He said, I don't want you to be ignorant. We don't want ignorant Christians. There are a lot of people out there that are saved, and they couldn't even tell you how to get saved. They're saved, but they go to church once a month. They're saved, but they know everything about the television or the sports. They don't know their Bibles. And many of them are taught in churches that just have a quarterly or something. Even little kids are being taught Scripture in this little church. Because we think that's the most important thing for you to learn. I would not that you would be ignorant. Now notice how that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Now here's the first statement that he's making it's significant. You think you're special? These are the people of God. This is a story of God's people. How do I know they're God's people? They were baptized. You know, baptism is a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is also an identification. When I got saved, I asked the preacher what I should do. He said, well, you ought to start tithing and you ought to be baptized. They would not let me be a member of that church if I would not submit to baptism that showed I belonged to Jesus. Baptism is an identification. When somebody gets baptized here and goes down in that water and comes out of that, they're saying, I now belong to you. If you won't do that, we don't really want you sitting at the Lord's table with us. If you're not willing to follow Christ, well, you're not a part of us. Baptism is an introduction to the church. Baptism is a commitment. Baptism is an identification. And you know what he said? He said, these were all baptized. Are you baptized? Have you been baptized after you've been saved? Well, you ought to have been. If you're going to identify with Christ, first thing, get baptized. Remember they preached the gospel of the Ethiopian eunuch? He said, what do I need to do? Well, you need to be baptized. Well, here's water. What does hinder me from being baptized? No, we'll take that water. And they both went down, both went into the water. By the way, he immersed him. He didn't get out in the water and take his hand and pour a little water on his head. He didn't take a damp handkerchief and hit him on the forehead. Hey, he put him all the way under. The stream might have carried him down. The first baptism I did in Guatemala, Central America, I'm in a stream, and I take this person and I put them under the water, and the current carries them away. I thought I was going to have a drowned one on my hands, but I found another place to baptize, by the way. But these were baptized. Are you baptized? Well, now, being baptized, you know you're a member. You belong. You've done the initial rites. Well, these were baptized. So how are you God's more than they were? That's what he's showing to you. These were God's people. Sometimes when you read about them, you think these couldn't be God's people. You pastor 52 years. You'll know God's people can do anything anybody else can do. Good, sweet, godly people can kill each other. You say, well, it couldn't be good, sweet, and godly people. Did. Oh, yeah. I've known some people that were good. Fine people. Boy, you get into sin, you get to messing with drugs, you get drunk, drink. You think you're a social drinker, and then you become an alcoholic, a drunk. See what you'll do.
That's right.
You get hungry. You get without a job. You get under a lot of stress. You have some problems in your marriage. Well, see what you'll do. He said they were all baptized. Now notice, they were all under the cloud, all passed through the sea, were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Now the cloud was the pillar by day that showed the presence of God. And was a pillar of fire by night that gave light and protection to them. And he went with them all through the wilderness. Everywhere they went, they knew God was with them. Now, the baptism here doesn't just mean immersion in the sense that we mean today, because none of the Jews got wet. The ones that got wet died. The Egyptian army went in there and the waters covered them. They didn't come out. I just read this week an article that some of the archaeologists have found chariot wheels in the Red Sea. Praise the Lord. And they dated it to the same time that the children of Israel came out of Egypt. And these were secular archaeologists. That was just interesting to me. Now, they were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Now, how in the world could they do that? They didn't get wet. I don't think they went through any mud. I think when God put that wind through there and dried it up, they went on dry ground all the way across that thing. They were identified with Moses. That baptism is an identification. You don't want to be identified with us? That's fine. That's no problem for me. But if you won't do that, I won't claim you as mine either. And they said, we'll follow Moses. We'll follow God. We'll follow God's man. Do you know Moses is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ? He's a type of a deliverer. He's a type of a savior. He's a type of a lawgiver. So they were baptized, as well as the Christian church today, New Testament, are baptized. Let's look at the next thing. Did all eat the same spiritual meat? Talking about manna. Every one of them had to eat manna that starved. Now, the Bible calls manna angel's food. Now, I don't know that angels have to eat anything, and I'm not sure that angel food means that the angels ate it. But it came from angels. Angels left food for them. They did eat this spiritual meat, which was angels' food, manna. Someone said one time, a sort of a joke, that Moses' wife had her book on 1001 ways to cook manna. I'm sure it was a bestseller. Listen, every morning, manna was on the ground. They didn't plant and plow and weed. Every morning, God gave them their manna. Do you get any manna? Get up in the morning, read your Bible, you get some manna. Talk to God, you get some manna. You need something every day. For 40 years, this 1-2 million people, 3 billion people, whatever they were, ate manna. All week long, all month long. Now, I would have been one of those complaining. I want a cow. I let the cows eat the greens and I eat the cows. But manna was spiritual food. They are God's people because they're fed spiritual angels' food every day. They're God's people. Do you get God's food? Do you take the Word of God in? Do you listen to what God has to say? Well, that proves you're God's people. You accept the Word of God. You receive the Word of God. You live by the Word of God. You expect it every day to bring you a blessing. So hear what he said. They did all eat the same spiritual meat. Now he said all. Did you notice there's a lot of alls in this chapter? You ever go? I go down my chapter and I read and I'll take a word and I'll say, is that anywhere else in here? And I look for that. There's a lot of alls in here. It said, verse 2, they were all baptized. Verse 3, they did all eat the same spiritual meat. That means that Korah and those that died with him, they ate manna. They had food from angels. They got manna every day. They were God's people. They weren't the Egyptians. They weren't the Assyrians. They weren't the Babylonians. They are God's people. They're descendants of Jacob. And a mixed multitude that said, that's where the blessing is. I want to go with them. Now that's interesting to me. All baptized, all that eat the same spiritual meat. Now that meat was good enough to sustain them. It was good enough to test them. And it was good enough to bring some discipline to them. And you know, that's what God's manna does for us today. It tests us. You sometimes say, I don't really think he means that. I really don't want to believe that. I can't understand why God would ever say that. And we complain about what God gives us. Well, people have been criticizing prophets and preachers for as long as there have been human beings. Just better be careful you don't criticize the wrong one. Now look at verse 4. Did all drink the same spiritual drink? Notice that all. They all drank the same spiritual drink. And that drink was, that rock was Christ. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. They got thirsty. They got to a place in the desert where there was no water. But there was a rock there. God told Moses, strike the rock, and water will come out. Well, they struck the rock. Moses struck the rock, and the water flowed. Boy, you know how much water had to flow for all those cattle and sheep and goats and a couple of million people to drink? There was a lot of water come out of that rock. I mean, every bit of the water they needed was supplied. Now, you notice the next time we find that rock, and he talks about the rock, and they needing water out of that rock. Moses loses his temper and strikes it again, and God judges him. Does not let Moses go into the promised land. God buries him. The only reason why I plan on being buried is because God buried Moses. That's the only reason. Otherwise, I don't care. Feed me to the dogs. Make me dog food. I don't care. But because I'm in heaven, this thing will be over with. In fact, it's almost over with already, if you didn't know. But God buried Moses. And that interests me. But now he says, they did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Now, wait a minute. Where was Christ then? Well, if you look back there, you'll find God, you'll find Jehovah, and you'll find Christ in the Psalms and other places that describe this event. All three of them. Christ is the express image of God. You want to know what God says? What does Christ say? You know what God would do? Look at what Jesus did. That's right. Jesus is God. God in the flesh. The fullness of the Godhead bodily was Jesus Christ. And yet we have Christ back here in the Old Testament. Christ. They did all drink the same spiritual drink. Now, brethren, think about this. They were all baptized. They all ate the same meat and they all drank the same water. The same drink. How are they different from you? That's what Paul's trying to show you. I'm taking time on this right here for you to get this. Everything that happened to the Jews is instructive for the church. Everything. Why do you think these particular stories are in the Bible, copied over and over and over again for years after years after years? They're there for a reason. There were lots of other things that could have been recorded. Lots of other stories that would have been interesting. These are in there for a purpose. They're in there to teach the church today. You can learn from the Old Testament. Don't despise the Old Testament. Now, I think Genesis is a very interesting book. Boy, when I get into Numbers, I'll have a little problem with it. When I get into some of those prophets, I said, this guy was nuts. How did he do that? And, I mean, God commands him to go naked in the streets. God commands him to go marry a whore. Raise up children. Where are you coming with all this stuff, you know? I don't understand it all. But if you learn from that right there, you can find something out about the New Testament church right here today. Do you know that most of the preaching that was done out of the Old Testament? Because they were writing the New Testament. When the explosion of the church was happening, none of these New Testament books were written. Where are they preaching this gospel? Where are they preaching this salvation? Where are they preaching this resurrection? Out of the Old Testament scriptures. Paul, his purpose was to go into a Jewish synagogue and take from the scriptures and show them Christ. They were prepared people to accept the message, and all the first Christians were Jews that accepted that first message. So, this spiritual church here, and by the way, that rock was Christ. The rock throughout the Psalms and other places, you just read rock, just take a concordance. You're going to see Christ. Christ has been with his people all along. How do you know he was with them here? Pillar, cloud, by day. Pillar of fire by night. They moved when he moved. They stopped when he stopped. They didn't move when he didn't move. Isn't that the way you're supposed to be? Isn't that the New Testament? You're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. That's Christ. Christ in you, your hope of glory. You're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And you move when he tells you to move. And you stop when he tells you to stop. Some of you don't pay any attention to him. Do you think some of them didn't pay any attention? Hey, it's the church in the wilderness. It is the church. Now, somebody said, well, the church wasn't formed until Pentecost. Well, in a sense, that's true. New Testament church wasn't formed until Pentecost. We talk about the missionary thing. It didn't go till they sent out Paul and Silas, you know, and whatever. And we have these beginnings and things like that. But Paul is telling you very clearly, this is the church in the wilderness, and you can learn from it. In fact, you better learn from it. If you don't learn from it, you're in trouble. Now, why he said this is that they are examples. Examples. And they fit us. We're the church now. Yes, praise God. We're God's people now. Yes. They were God's chosen people. They were specially protected by God. They were fed by God. They were led by God. And that makes them just as good as we are. On the other side of the cross, I like being where I am rather than where they were. But bless your heart, they were the people of God. Have you ever noticed one thing? Years ago, I noticed something and it really confused me. I had a hard time dealing with it. God, when he punished Israel, always used a worse nation than Israel. More wicked, ungodly. When the people of God get crushed, they're going to get crushed by the world. You better look out. If God's judgment decides to come upon the church, it's not going to come out of the church. It's going to come somewhere else. God uses the heathen as his sword. Now, that rock was Christ. Christ was with them for the water. Christ was with them for the leading. Christ was with them every day. They were his people. He was watching over them. Do you know he had to really watch over them to get that many people down there? Man, I sympathize with Moses. I can't pastor 200 people. I don't know what I'd do with 2 million.
That's right.
Good night. Get me a slew of pastors. Then that'd be trouble. You can't get out of this life without trouble. You looking for a life without trouble? You got to die. If you're living, you got troubles. If you're alive, you've got pain. If you're alive, you've got decisions. If you're alive, you got trouble. That's what God's got you here for. To deal with trouble. And it's how you deal with it. And your attitude, that makes a difference in your life, isn't it?
Yes.
Amen. Look what it says in verse 5. Now these are the people of God. Is that established for you? They're people God takes care of, watches over, has loved, has saved, is leading, is feeding, is taking care of. But with many of them, God was not well pleased. For they were overthrown in the wilderness. Most of the people who came out of Egypt died in the wilderness.
That's right.
They didn't make it the promised land. They could have, but they didn't. First couple of years, they're sitting right on the outside of the promised land. They're ready to go in, and they failed. They wouldn't listen to the men of faith. They listened to the cowards. They listened to the fearful. They listened to the people who didn't believe God and his word and his promises. They didn't listen to the two men. Now, out of the people that came out of Egypt, 20 years old and older, only two men went in. Caleb and Joshua. I love that Caleb. 85, he says, I'm as strong as I was at 45. I wish I was as strong as I was at 45. I was a pretty good man at 45. Not too good anymore, but I'm a has-been or a used-to-was-er. I used to. That wasn't Caleb. He said, give me that mountain. I love him. give me a slingshot and I'll charge the hill. God was not well pleased. Now, do you think you're more the people of God than these people were? What happened to them? They were destroyed. They lost their lives. They lost their fortune. They lost their opportunity. And they missed out on the best blessings. They were the people of God. But they missed out on the best blessings. Why? Sin. I know a lot of us, especially this generation, we are living in a time that there's such a looseness, there's such a wickedness, there's so much sin that we just accept as normal. That it's really polluted the church. No doubt about it. You can't mess with it any more than they could mess with it. You cannot ignore God who is so close to you, and in fact, you are indwelt by God. Do you ever think I'm offending God by what I'm doing? And I'm not offending that great big creator God way up yonder behind the North Star somewhere. I'm offending the one that lives right inside of me. He's offended by my thoughts, my actions, my anger, my road rage, my impatience, my stupidity. Parents, have you ever got just really disgusted with your kids? Boy, I have. I think with every one of them, one time or another. What do you think God thinks? You're not God. You're not pure. You're not holy. You're a pretty wicked sinner, maybe worse than your kids. And yet they offend you. How do you think God feels when you get into sin? How do you think God feels when you lose your temper and do wrong to another person? You want Him to treat you like you treat others? Well, in a certain sense, that's what's going to happen. I don't know that I can get through these three, but we'll get started on them anyway. They were overthrown in the wilderness. Everybody that came out of Egypt that was 20 years old and older, they buried. It's their kids that go in with two old men. Joshua and Caleb. Not even Moses made it in. All of them were buried in the wilderness over a period of 40 years. They went from one funeral to another. From one funeral to another. Let's take another trip around the mountain. We've got to go to that gravesite and bury another one. They didn't make it. Their kids made it. Now notice verse 6. And here is where you get a proof of types and what they mean. And the Old Testament. These were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. When you read about the Jewish people building a golden calf and putting on a barbecue and dancing till 2 a.m, what do you think? God called it sin. God didn't like it. He was not well pleased. He said, you fellas aren't going to pollute my new land. I'm not bringing you in. You better think because they're our example. Now, what is an example? It's to teach you something. An example says, if that fella does that and that happens to him, I don't want to go that way. Am I right? If that fellow does this and he's successful before God and he's blessed by God and man, he's got a good life by God, I want to go his way. Isn't that right? These are examples, and they were examples of sin, and what will God do to his people? He will still do it. Do you know what God is? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You may live in a different age and a different dispensation, but God hasn't changed. God still hates sin. And you know what? He hates it more in His own people than He hates it in the world. God hates sin in you and me. Now, if you think that you can just keep on doing something that God has convicted you about, I'm not talking about anything I convict you about. I don't really do that. I can't. I try, but pretty unsuccessful. But the Holy Spirit convicts. And the Holy Spirit convicts you of something and you keep telling Him no. What do you think is going to happen? Tell you what happened around my house. When I heard the word no, a spanking was on its way. Ain't no way you're going to tell me no. Not long as I'm bigger than you are. And I know I'm meaner than you are. You know what God's doing? He's telling you, don't be foolish around sin. And don't compromise me among the idolatrous people and the licentious people of this world. Don't throw away your blessing. What could these people have done? They could have walked up 2 or 3 years, been in the promised land, having their own land, their own vine trees, their own gardens, blessed in their own cities. That's what they could have done. That's what would have happened to them if they'd have believed God. They were the people of God. They were brought out by God. They were led and nurtured and fed and given drink by God. And they frustrated him at every turn. What do you think God's going to do to us? I fear for America. I fear for the Christian church. I really do. We're a bunch of creationists using an old King James Bible, believing it. And we're pretty fundamental. That's not most of the churches. That's not most of the churches. You're weird. You're peculiar. You're different than most of the world. And God wants you that way. He doesn't want you messing around with sin. He said, these were our examples. Our examples. He's talking to the Corinthian church. To the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. If it's evil, refuse it. If it's evil, reject it. Don't think the people that are living evil got it better than you. They don't have it better than you. These rich athletes and movie stars and politicians and whatever, you think, oh, they've got such a life. They've got a 10,000 square foot house. They've got 5 airplanes and all this other stuff like that. Most of them are miserable. Mel Gibson just threw a big hissy fit and caused himself all sorts of trouble. It's all over the news. You listen to the news, they're going to tell you about Mel Gibson. The guy's got millions of dollars, got fame, got all sorts of things. He's not happy.
Yeah, that's right.
He's got him a young, beautiful trophy wife. He's not happy. You better count your blessings and think about what you get from being close to God. Do you know anybody that used to be? I do. I know people who used to preach. I know people who used to teach Sunday school. I know people who used to win souls. And they're doing nothing. And they're miserable. They're mad at God. Somebody upset them sometime. Preacher said something they didn't like. Be real careful how you handle God's word from God's man. And if he isn't God's man with God's word, don't listen to him. If you believe he's God's man with God's word, you be real careful how you handle what comes your way. Because God got real upset when they didn't listen to his prophets. Over and over and over and over again. These are examples we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Now notice this one. Verse 7. Neither be ye idolaters as were some of them. As it is written. Listen to this. You ought to mark it. This is idolatry. The people sit down to eat and drink and rose up to play. We're an idolatrous nation. Sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. They did that around the golden calf, by the way. They got tired of waiting on that man of God to come through, Moses. What happened to him? He'd been gone 40 days. Good night. No man could live up there for 40 days. Well, Aaron, make us a god. You really want to worship a cow? Have you ever raised any cows? They're dumb. You really want to worship a cow? Well, let's have a big party. We'll set up a cow, and we'll get a bunch of drinks and food. Boy, we'll put them on the barbecue, and we'll have a party till 2 in the morning. Sit down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. That's almost America. That's us. That's even the Christian church. We eat and drink and play. Now, God, in his word, Paul lists that as idolatry. Now, what did God do to the idolaters? Well, he killed them. He killed them. Jew against Jew. He killed them. Are you blessed? I am blessed. I don't know about you. I can't speak for you. I'll try not to confess your sins, or if you'll try not to confess mine, let me confess my own sins. I'll let you confess your own. I'm blessed. Every day I live, God let me live. I never thought I'd be this old. I never thought. It just was not in my thinking. I got plenty of food to eat. I'm still walking and talking and preaching. I'm still enjoying life. I'm blessed. I got the same wife for 55 years. I'm blessed. All my kids are doing well. They're alive and they're a blessing to me. I am blessed. Do I want to endanger that? Do I want to wave a flag of rebellion against the Lord and say, go ahead, I'm going to do what I want to do? I've seen a kid do that. I've seen some people do it in front of the police. Yeah, just go ahead. You can't hurt me. Yeah, wait, he'll hurt you. You'll get it. I don't want to wave a red flag of rebellion in front of the Almighty God that is the source of all my happiness. Do you know he could take all my happiness away today? I wouldn't have anything I could say. Everything I got's by grace anyway. Yep. Every good day I've had, every blessing in my life, I could have not had it. And if I didn't ever have another blessing, would that be a reason to curse God? I've got salvation. If that's all you ever got, you're rich. So what if you lose your job? So what if you lose your house? So what if you lose your health? You ought to be able to, Christian, if you're spiritual, if you're wise, get up every morning and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for another day. Praise you, Lord. You deserve to be praised. Because you've been better to me than I ever deserved. What happened back there in the Old Testament, there was an example, and he's telling the Corinthian church and to us, neither be ye idolaters as were some of them. Be real careful of what you have that looks like idolatry. You'd be better throw away some things you value very much than to have the Lord deal with you for idolatry.
Yeah, that's right.
And by the way, I know you love to sit down to eat and drink. I do. I'm a teetotaler. I don't drink liquor or wine, beer. I drink too much tea and too much soda pop and junk like that. I like to sit down to eat and drink. In fact, as old as I am, that's about the only thing I can enjoy. Eating and drinking. Now, I don't have the energy to rise up and play anymore, but I have in my life. I used to rise up and play. My poor boat just stays out there. It feels like it's been gutted. Hadn't been in the water in so long. Sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. You know, every time I read that, it just flashes in my mind, here is a bad, bad picture of us. Of us. I got my whole family coming for lunch today. We're going to sit down to eat and drink and rise up and play. You got to be careful what you're thinking about doing. Look at the next one. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 3,000 and 20,000. Now you might have a problem with somebody trying to get you that there's a controversy here. Because back another place, it says 24,000. Well, he says 23,000 in one day. The 24,000 was overall. There's no contradiction.
Yeah, that's right.
Fell in one day 3,000 and 20,000. You remember the story of Balaam? You remember this prophet? This king hired him, paid him good money to curse Israel because he was afraid of them. And Balaam tried cursing them. He tried to do it. And God wouldn't let him. Now, see, that's another thing I don't understand. Balaam confuses me sometimes. Really do. But he tried to, and God wouldn't let him. You know what he did? He went back to that king. He said, send your women down. You get them to commit fornication, adultery with your women, and God will curse them for you. You get them into sin, God will do what you want done. That's exactly what happened. And here 23,000 died one day, 24,000 overall died because of fornication. Now their women didn't think anything about it. Oh, that was fine. Okay, we'll go do that. Are there a lot of people like that around today? They're on every street and every block. They're in every movie. They're in every story. They're showing off everything to try to get you to lust, or they want to drop you. They think, I'm so beautiful, I got this man to come after me, and whatever. Right. It's everywhere we are. We have a mess today in sex.
That's right.
It's truly a mess.
Yep.
Sex is a wonderful thing. Great gift God gave us.
Yes.
But if you use it wrong, it'll be a curse. And God will do the cursing. God will do the cursing. You can't play with God. We got an example right here. They committed fornication. 24,000 of them died. 23 in one day. You think you can play with fornication and get away with it? Boy, you better run like Joseph. I was teaching school, and I was the tennis coach at the school, and three young teachers came out and asked me to teach them. Well, I was feeling pretty good. I said, you know, that's great. You know, they think I'm good enough to teach them. I went home and told my wife, yeah, three of the young teachers want me to teach them tennis. She said, no, you're not. Now, that raised the hackles up on my neck. I did not like her telling me, no, you're not. You're going to boss me. She said, you are not going to get with those girls. Now, you go back and tell them you got a jealous wife and you can't. That's what I told them. I said, well, we're not wanting anything. We're not taking anything. And they probably weren't. But, hey, that was a smart move.
Amen. Yep.
That was a smart move. I was teaching classes, and I ended up having two lovely ladies. Everybody else, all the men dropped out, and I'm over here with two lovely ladies each night. I canceled the classes.
Yeah.
All you got to do is accuse me of adultery, and you'd ruin my ministry. Yeah. Just the accusation can wipe you out. You better flee fornication. You better run to, oh, it seems like it's the greatest thing in the world, and it's so much fun, it's pleasure, and you're winning. Somebody is willing to follow you and have sex with you. You must be something else. You're a fool is what you are. Read the 7th chapter of Proverbs. Flee fornication. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of the serpents. You start complaining. We're a bunch of complainers, aren't we? Husbands complain about their wives. Wives complain about their husbands. Parents complain about their children. Children complain about their parents. Everybody complains about the preachers. Too loud, too long, too much, too crude, too rude, too vulgar. I've been too much, too long. But you better watch your complaining. You're supposed to be a thankful person. You're not supposed to be a complainer. Well, I know America says you got to stand up for your rights, and well, let's march in the streets, let's turn over buses and burn them, let's do all these things to get attention so we can have our way and get our rights. You're a slave. You don't have any rights, really. You belong to Jesus Christ. You don't belong to this world. You belong to Jesus Christ. And you ought to thank God every day. Murmuring and complaining, and God sent poisonous serpents that would kill you in a day. I don't know what they were. I don't know what a fiery serpent is. I don't know whether the sting burned like fire or whether they were red like flames of fire on them, like a copperhead or something like that. I have no idea. All I know is they were God's judgment because of the sin of God's people. Now, that ought to scare the living daylights out of you. It ought to. You don't play with sin. Because you're the people of God, you think you can get away with it? They were the people of God, and they didn't get away with it. You are the people of God, and just because you are the people of God, you will not get away with it. I don't care if you hide it for 6 months or a year or 5 or 10 years, you will not get away with it. God bless you.